All right, everyone. Gianluca here is going to be talking about porting GGML to Nux kernel development frameworks. Are we ready? Nope. Just turn it on. Switch. There you go. Say something.
Hello.
There you go. All right, everyone. Give Gianluca a round of applause.
Okay, hello everyone. My name is Gianluca. The title will make sense as I go along. About me, well, the older I get, the harder it gets to say what my specialization is. I've been working in various fields, but whatever I do, I tend to naturally drift towards the border between software and hardware. It's my doom. Currently living, working for a RISC-V startup, various employers, I express my collective madness, personal way to express my collective madness during the lockdown was building analog synthesizers. Well, this is my personal project, so it has nothing to do with my past or current employer, and so about this talk. So this talk is mostly actually about how to run GGML on a constrained environment. And by the title, I guess your question is, what is Nux? And that's the first thing I will try to answer. And then, you know, like once I get what Nux is, like how do I run, which is a constrained environment to run on bare. The kernel, the Nux kernel is a kernel space component. So, you know, it handles interrupt, exception, and requests from the user space. And then there's a proper user space where usually you can, you know, you essentially have what usually people call program. And yes, it requests to syscall, and the model that I have at the start for any bare Nux is that you just have one user space running, but of course the kernel can support creating new software, new programs, new user space, and go. Right, so what's RK looks like? RK is, again, like I wanted to make it portable, so the way I did it, I made it an ELF bootloader. So ELF is the binary system, and there are two ways to see an ELF. One is the linker view of an ELF, which is based on segment, but then there's the loader way to the loader view of an ELF, which is based on program headers. So what I do is that when it loads a kernel, there are special program headers that tells where the kernel wants things like the frame buffer or the information page or the memory map and all the details. So it's completely separate as a way, but and it's also very portable. So what I have is a core library, and then I have various machine-dependent, platform-dependent functions, and then you can just link the core plus one of these, you know, gray boxes, which can work on EFI or multi-boot on SPI. And right now I'm targeting mostly RISC-V 64 and x86, both 32 and 64 bit. So the second part, so after I load the bootloader, I do have a kernel. The kernel, what is a kernel? Well, in the most abstract way, a kernel is executable that is loaded by the bootloader and essentially reacts to various events that happen in the system. So in order to achieve that and making that simple as possible to build a new kernel, because that was my goal, I have, of course, like two libraries that are dependent on the platform. One is the HAL, which is address abstraction layer, but it's mostly meant to boost up the system. So RK essentially jumps into the beginning of libHAL and then essentially abstract the CPU away. And then there's the platform. The platform is the part that controls mostly the interrupt controller right now and provides a timer because it's usually a fundamental part. Again, I support x86, both 32-bit and 64-bit, and RISC-V in both of them. And mostly, so for example, the ACPI version for RISC-V is coming, but it's not ready yet. And then, of course, I have our proper Linux, which is the interface that which usually the custom kernel code that you write interface with. And, you know, it provides all the stuff you usually need when you're programming a kernel, like, you know, memory allocator mapping, you know, the user stack frame to switch threads, and, of course, the page table to switch page table, and global, you know, the global memory coherency, and, you know, PANIX, which is what you mostly run when you run your own kernel. Okay, so what it's like to build a kernel for people interested in Nux? Well, the way I see it, as I said before, essentially is a kernel code that it's a C program in this case, but it can be ported to new things that essentially reacts to various events. One is the timer, the other is the interrupt and exceptions, the IRQ if you're programming device, and the user syscall. And essentially, in order to write a kernel under Nux, you just need to implement these functions. And there you go, and then you can just boot and pretend things. Of course, having a kernel without a user space that can call the user requests is of very little use, although this demo is all about this. And so I also provide a way to have a standard way to program at least the beginning of a user program. And so essentially there's a libnux user that just upstarts the syscalls mechanism that the kernel uses. And yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. And yes, as I said earlier, there's only one user space at the beginning. And yeah, and so, yes, of course, as I said, like if you want to run multiple programs, the kernel, of course, need to have a fork or an exec or a spawn or whatever it needs. Right, this is important, despite the minor details, because it will be important for the rest of the talk. There's an unsung hero, as I call it, and there's a lib embedded C that is a C library that I collated together, mostly taking bits of NetBSD and writing the stuff in a simpler way. It's simply a very small libc, because in order to create a binary, usually you need a C runtime, which is CRT0 mostly, and then CRTI, CRTN for the various constructor, a libc, and then the C. So you know you have a main function. The main function actually is called by the CRT0, or the CRT in general, and then you usually have the various functions like printf and stuff that are part of the libc. And so this is the part that you need to create a binary. And if you go back, every single thing that I explained, from this, from the user space to the kernel to the RK itself, they're all binaries. So this is the core. This is really at the core of actually what makes Nux very easy to port. Right, so now that we have this idea of what Nux is, how do I actually run GGML on it? So let's sort of have a look at what GGML is, at least in my view, so in the most simple way. Right, the way I think personally in GGML, not definitely an expert, is that in order to build the most minimal GGML build, you can look at these components. I don't know how they're called, but this is how I abstract them. For one day, there's definitely a platform abstraction, which is something that, you know, like GGML time or GGML alloc, the functions that actually abstract the actual low-level call. Then there is utility functions, which are, you know, there's a lot of functions to do file I/O, both of graph or dot file files or loading models and things like this. And then there's the function when you actually building the model, so you build the graph. Then there's a threadable implementation that is the one that actually starts programming, running the compute task. And then there's the graph execution functions. And this is the, I'm just talking about, you know, CPU execution, so I'm not talking about backends and stuff like this. But in general, this is the model that I have for the GML and that I'm going to use from now on. Right, so let's have a look at the software side of it. What are the dependencies? Well, GGML is written in C, and so at least this part of it in C, and a very minimal set of C++, luckily. And so usually this is what you get when you try to compile GGML. There is some standard C, like there's definitely a libc, there's of course shockingly mathematical operations, and usually the libc doesn't implement this floating point operation. There's this other standard function called libm. You need for the C++ part, you need usually like standard C++ library and the C++ runtime. The threadpool uses pthread, and actually, as I said, I will say later, it's actually quite difficult to separate both of them. And then GGML time uses the a POSIX, so you know, it's a more Unix-specific. There's of course the Windows 32 things, and it's like clock monotonic, which is part of the POSIX standard. The good news that I had that made this talk possible with ease was the fact that the subset of the C++ standard library is very small. It's mostly vectors and iterators, and you're not going to get the crazy stuff that C++ can give to programmers. Right, so what does it take to port GGML to Nux? Let's have a look again, now that we know how the software of Nux is architected. What do you get when you're actually running a system under Nux, or after you booted? And well, we support SMP, so we have multiple CPUs, and in modern architectures, after the 386, one would say, the focus is mostly on two privileged levels. One is the kernel, and the other is the user. And as I said, when we boot under Nux, when I create this, Nux will create, we will have like a kernel image and a user image on each CPU, each being the same. And of course, you can run different code for each CPU, you can specialize it, but like at the beginning, you give this to ELF, and you'll be sure that each CPU has the same ELF map everywhere. Right, so when I found myself into this and I got GGML linking, I say, how would I like to run? And this layout is incredibly flexible because you can do everything. And so I wanted to create a compute platform because I just wanted to see, okay, let me see what I can get if I can run to this. So I decided that I actually like the idea to dedicate entire CPU that runs uninterrupted inside the system. So instead of having threads that gets created and destroyed locally, I can just simply dedicate entire CPU as compute threads. And then, of course, it would be very useless if you have this machine that boots and starts doing this calculation without the ability to communicate or to receive things. So I can use the bootstrap CPU, which most of the time is CPU 0, to just, so, you know, the CPU that first start in the system to have a system interface. So I actually have the most minimal OS you can think of or whatever you want to run. And unikernels would be a good idea because essentially they'll just use one thing. And so this is the model that I went to for this approach, for trying to get some sense into Nux. Right, how do you, and so here's the thing. So having a look at the compute CPU, as I said, we have kernel and user space. And there are two ways to run things. One, I can just directly run GGML and whatever in the thread computing directly in kernel mode, so in higher, in the higher privilege mode, which in the Nux model, actually that means that you will not be interrupted ever, not even by interrupt. Or I can do something which is, you know, more sane usually, which is have like a kernel that is just a compute support, and then the GGML compute thread running in user space so that you can request stuff and you can just, but it would be interrupted. So usually the reason to run things in user space is because if there's a corruption in the user space mode, usually the kernel is not affected, so the stability of the system is not affected. The problem is, of course, that it's also easier to port libraries because you can just compile way more stuff and having the compute support to implement the stuff needed. There's a possibility that by interrupting the stuff, and also the fact that in order to have some privileged operation, you need to do the syscall back and forth. And this was a demo, so I decided to go for the first option. And so running everything in the kernel and see what happens. Right, so this is then what the software stack looks like. We got GGML first. Of course, we need to have the libm because the libc, we didn't have it. I'm going to use libnux compute is the first library that I wrote on top of libc, which is essentially the part that allows me to allocate thread just by scheduling a CPU, so the CPU are waiting, and when I need a thread, essentially the NIF compute will say to the CPU, okay, now start, and of course it stops, I implemented the whole condition waiting for the various CPUs, so essentially it kind of emulates the thread pool. And then I had to write something that is awful to look at, but it works, which is libggml ux, which is where all the dirty work is done, and so everything that actually needed that was missing is ported there. So one is the C++ runtime, which is like some set of completely function that you need to implement for the C++ code compiled to run. Okay, yeah. Yes. And yes, yeah, so you need that. And then you need libc extension to libc, because libc is minimal. So, you know, sometimes you need like qsort and stuff like this in GGML. And so I said, okay, instead of adding to libc, I'm just going to add another library that just includes next, the other headers. And so I did that. All the extension went there. And then, yes, and so of course I have to map pthread to Nuxt compute, and I have to implement the GGML time directly to use the libnux timer. Right, so putting all together, this has been what I did. This is how our system looks like right now. So right now, in order to test this, as you can see, I have all the GGML running in the CPU, in the compute part, and I needed a quick demo, so I took example GPT-2, and of course the model is loaded in memory shared. I could just run directly booting from hardware. You can find the code there. Originally I was trying to port plus directly to Nuxt. Then I said, okay, you know what, I can actually do directly by implementing the thread pool. It's going to be simpler, and it was. And yeah, so it's a prototype. It's just a way to say, look, we can do it, which was my goal, and also to learn what it takes to run GGML on a very minimal environment, and what you need to look at the various dependencies in order to have an understanding. The code is there for anyone who wants to read it. And the final consideration, well, honestly, porting it was much, much easier than expected. When you see a C++ code, usually you do not expect that to see that, but actually the architecture is very sane. And it seems clearly very malleable to port in various different environments. The only things I would do is like simple modification, but unfortunately very intrusive. And the code is architected like, for example, GGMLC contains everything from file I/O to various platform abstraction definition, and probably separating different files would be very nice. It was very impossible, very difficult, so that's why I had to implement the pthread to do the various, implement the thread pool. It would be very nice if the thread pool would just be linked in a separate file. I could just change it. And yeah, and again, like the platform abstraction is defined in GMLC, and I will need to do some if-def to define other things like the POSIX thread interface. And that's pretty much it. This is where you can find more information about it.
Give him a round of applause.